May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's Gospel, Luke tells us how Mary and Joseph present the baby Jesus at the temple 40 days after his birth to complete the necessary purification rituals after childbirth and to secure the redemption of the firstborn son according to Jewish law. Simeon, an old man who has faithfully waited many years to set eyes on the Messiah, believing that he will not die before this takes place. And Anna, a prophetess and widow who has reached the great age of 84, both recognise in the baby Jesus the one who is to be the light of the world. That knowledge is sufficient for Simeon, who can now die fulfilled. His words, "Lord, let us now your servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people," are familiar because they are part of the funeral liturgy. Surely Luke's narrative touches us all. We long to be Simeon. We ache for something better, whether we call it God, paradise, or transcendence. We long for eternity's epiphany to break into human finite time, for glimpses in our broken world of the kingdom of heaven. Such a desire seems more urgent than ever in this time of seemingly unrelenting struggle, as the beckoning anniversary of the COVID epidemic finds us yet again in lockdown, as we will have been for more than half of the year, hand in hand with death rates and hospital admissions which remain stubbornly high. The psalmist's words may seem written especially for us. How long, Lord, will you leave me forgotten? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I suffer anguish in my soul, grief in my heart, day after day? Our gospel, though, offers us a valuable reminder that neither did Jesus come to us all-knowing and all-powerful. He didn't have the answers at the very beginning, understand the outcome, how it was going to end. The last line of our gospel tells us that after Mary and Joseph returned to Nazareth, the child Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. I think we can sometimes gain the impression that Jesus was born with full knowledge of who he was and what his purpose was on this earth, as though he lay in the cradle just pretending to be a baby, that all the knowledge and power of God resided in him as he went about and lived among us. But during his lifetime, his knowledge was incomplete. When he's dying in agony, he cries out to the God who he believes has forsaken him. That plea, like that of so many of the Psalms, is that of all humanity, faced with unbearable, seemingly inexplicable suffering over which we have no control. Like us, Jesus did not experience in that moment that other hope, that parallel reality seen in the resurrection narrative, that somehow suffering is absorbed by love, that love overcomes death. Being fully human, he had to walk the same darkness and light that we do. When faced with seemingly inexplicable suffering or tragedy, there seems to be a human instinct to explain, understand, predict. The alternative, that events appear to have no pattern, no overall meaning, is more frightening to many. But in opting for the first, however understandably, we risk diminishing God. It may be more straightforward to believe that those who suffer have sinned in some way, or that catastrophes like COVID are a divine punishment. Even when bad things happen to us, we may harbour a belief we've somehow deserved it. Perhaps this offers us a measure of control, and it follows that God can subsequently be assuaged and all made well if we have that mindset. But what does this say about our idea of God? that an all-loving creator, the one who came not to be served but to serve, would sanction such things, act less lovingly than we would. And we can see in the biblical narrative an evolution in the human understanding of God, from a deity who favours one's own tribe and who kills men, women and children who are the enemy, the God who advocates an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, to the God who forgives and renews those who have strayed from him, to the God revealed in the Gospels and in Paul, the God who empties himself, taking the form of a slave, whose nature is complete self-giving love. Our gospel relates how Mary and Joseph present an offering of two turtle doves when they take Jesus to the temple. The usual offering was a sheep or a goat. That they did not do this shows that they were poor, as the law allowed those who couldn't afford such a sacrifice instead to give two doves. When Jesus grows up, he frees doves from the temple, symbolically releasing access to God from the purity system. Because God can't be bought or grace or love purchased like a possession. It's Jesus's challenge of this system of offering and purification which brings him into conflict with the religious authorities and ultimately leads to his crucifixion. We can't know God fully in this life, or control or domesticate God, as though access is granted by putting coins in a slot machine and denied if we don't pay enough. Simeon waits a whole lifetime in hope and trust for that one encounter with Jesus, but it is enough. Epiphanies, glimpses of God, a sense of overwhelming love or peace, these often arrive unexpectedly. Perhaps part of growing spiritually is that rather than expecting certainty, we accept those fleeting understandings or the witness of others' experiences as enough. The need to explain and reconcile truths that seem inconsistent may become somehow less important. Simeon tells Mary both that Jesus will be a source of healing and deliverance, a light that will bring revelation to all, and at the same time that she will be pierced to the heart because of him. Mary's response isn't to try to work out what this means that moment, but to live in the moment and discover in faith, as we try to do in our own lives. Simeon waited his whole life, his whole long life, for a single moment of revelation. How easy is it to live in faith, hope and trust, as if those rare, wonderful intimations of God's kingdom are real, albeit seen as though through a glass darkly? Can you think of something that particularly brings that reality closer to you? A place, perhaps, a person, poem, a Bible passage, a piece of music, a picture. By opening ourselves to the reality of love, mercy and grace, we may find, like Simeon, that we receive them. There's something that resonates with meaning in the implied words that I just needed to see, but I don't have to be there. I didn't need more. Perhaps those words strike a chord for you. Or perhaps you feel very far from such an epiphany. Wherever we find ourselves, it's surely comforting to be reminded that if Jesus, the fullest disclosure of God, grew in understanding, then that gives all of us hope and permission to grow, explore, and make mistakes as we try to become the person God intended us to be. Amen.